If you've ever taken a trip to the emergency room or heard the stories from someone else who has, it's never a fun time, even when things go smoothly. You might worry about long wait times, too, with little FaceTime with an actual doctor or nurse. But what's it like on the other side of things for the physicians who work in the emergency room and see an endless line of patients with a wide variety of health problems? Dr. Gina Siddiqui is a resident physician in the emergency room at Yale New Haven Hospital. She writes about how modern medicine has been both a success and a failure for publications like Scientific American and Quartz. She wrote the piece, A Doctor's Diary, The Overnight Shift in the ER, for the New York Times. Dr. Siddiqui, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
What led you to want to practice in an emergency room?
I think what I really liked about my first few shifts in the ER was this constant drive to connect with people instantly. There's no beating around the bush. You really don't get second chances. And it doesn't matter what the person looks like, you know, where they're from. You have to figure out a way to get them to instantly trust you and, you know, you guys get on the same team to figure out what's going on with them. You know, sometimes it's something that they're embarrassed about, like something that happened in the bedroom. Sometimes it's something that could get them in the trouble with the law. Sometimes they're just really mad because they've been in the waiting room for a long time. And, you know, my job is to, no matter what the reason is for them being there, to figure out a way to help them and make them better off when they leave. And I just thought that was so in line with what I went to med school to do.
In your doctor's diary, you give a sense of the kinds of cases you might encounter in just one night. Can you, for people who haven't worked in an emergency room, can you give a sense of the scope, the range of things that you might see in a given night?
Yeah, absolutely. The nighttime is sort of singular in how much of a grab bag it is because we're really the only game in town. But emergency rooms see really fascinating patterns throughout the year. Pretty much any ER in America, if you ask them the busiest day of the week, it's a Monday. And if you ask them the least busy day, pretty much everyone will say the Super Bowl during the game. At dawn, there's a weird spike in heart attacks and strokes. Then there's seasonal variations, you know, summer, especially hot summer nights. There's a lot of trauma, a lot of fights, stabbings, gunshot wounds. Rainy days, more people will come in depressed. And in bad weather, you see more car accidents, things like that. So it's a really weird way that you're connected with what's going on outside in your neighborhood. Similarly, if there's, you know, like a pain management doctor who leaves for another town or a specialist who whose practice closes, you suddenly might see a spike in people who have that need and, you know, can't find an office appointment for it anymore.
You write that a lot of the cases you might see, especially at night, are not what we might think of as emergencies, but they're people who are there because, like you said, it's the only game in town. Their urgent care clinic, their general practitioner, if they have one, we'll get into that. They're not open. Are we using emergency rooms for a lot of non-emergencies?
Yeah, that's a complicated question. I think the first thing to just put out there up front is that we can't always tell what's an emergency from the beginning, you know. You can sort of audit or review cases afterwards, and it's sometimes seems like, oh, you know, why did this person who ended up having the flu get this, you know, really involved workup? But if they came in, you know, with a really fast heart rate, a very high fever, and feeling very unwell, we have to rule out a lot of dangerous things before we say that, you know, chalk it up just to the flu. There's a large group of patients that I think it would be sort of premature or unfair to say that they're inappropriately using the ER just because, thank goodness, by the time they go home, we realize they aren't having an emergency. You know, every person who comes in with chest pain who doesn't end up having a heart attack, we wouldn't say that they were inappropriately using the ER.
We're talking to Dr. Gina Siddiqui from Yale New Haven Hospital. She's a resident physician in the emergency room there. In the piece you wrote, Dr. Siddiqui, there is a problem you see out there, and I assume all emergency rooms see this, people who end up in the emergency room again and again, and in large part, you write, it's because nobody deals with the fundamental causes, the day-to-day causes that end up driving them back into the emergency room. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, the reasons that more and more people are coming to the ER and some of them are revisiting again and again are kind of related to how medicine has evolved. In a way, we're victims of our own success. You know, there are diseases that people used to not be able to survive with. And now, you know, they're making it out of the hospital. They're living for years and years longer than it would be expected in the past. But they're very fragile, and they're sort of always teetering on this edge that even a small problem could be life-threatening for them. So they're told, you know, to come to the ER with any problem. So patients with mechanical hearts, patients who are on transplant lists, other people who are immunosuppressed, all the people in America on dialysis, they're coming to the ER very often. Similarly, our population is aging, and a lot of elderly people have a little bit of heart failure, a little bit of kidney disease, a little bit of COPD, and they come to the ER a lot too. Then, you know, as a society, we're changing. People don't live in the same town that they grew up in, that their parents grew up in, so they don't have a family doctor who knows them very well. They might have a job that doesn't really allow them to leave for an afternoon or a whole morning like people used to for doctor's appointments. They need something quick and on demand. And then the family doctor, they're strained in a different way than they used to be. They can't pencil people in for appointments like they used to. Doctors used to see kidney stones for patients themselves. It's very rare now for a doctor to be able to put their day aside for someone who has a sudden emergency like that. Because medicine has gotten so complex and so specialized, we know so much about the kidneys, the heart, the lungs. People have specialists. And with every increasing specialist that you have comes an added layer of complexity of who you're going to see for an appointment. I've seen many people in the ER who say, you know, this isn't urgent. This didn't just happen today. Actually happened several weeks ago. But I was told I'd have to wait months to see a neurologist. So that's why I'm here.
You also talk in your piece about a program at Yale, and there are similar pilot programs elsewhere, trying to work with people who have chronic conditions and work with them at home. I think the Yale program was about helping prevent falls among some of the older patients who are admitted to the ER. Can you talk about how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. The PRIDE program at Yale basically found elderly patients who came to the ER after they fell and said, you know, first, of course, in the ER, we'll make sure you didn't break your hip and are safe to go home. But after that, let's think about what circumstance led to you falling and see if we can prevent it from happening again. After the patient was sent home, they had a follow-up visit by a medic, a paramedic, and also a nurse. And basically, they went through a pretty simple checklist of common things that in an elderly person's home, medicine cabinet, medical plan can lead to problems. And by systematically going through that list for these patients, they did a tremendous job of preventing future problems compared against those same patients who didn't have that follow-up. And I think one of the most fascinating things about this group that I didn't talk about in the article is they offered the same service, these home visits to assess for fall risks, to all elderly people in the community. The volunteer families that they went and did home visits for, those fall risk assessments did not prevent future ER visits. They did not decrease their risk. I think what this shows is that patients who come to the ER are declaring themselves as high-risk people. They're declaring themselves as people, if we give them extra resources, if we try to be more preventative and proactive with them, actually we're going to really see the benefit of that time and money that we invest in them.
Do you see that as a wider movement to take these high-risk patients who present themselves in the ER and reach out and help them keep themselves out of the ER by these kind of interventions?
I think it's certainly an interesting question. Sometimes people will come in the middle of the night asking for an STD check or a pregnancy test. And obviously, you know, you can get a pregnancy test at a drugstore and you can get an STD checked not in an emergency room, you know, like in a less urgent setting. But if we step back and ask ourselves, you know, how high risk are these people? If, you know, people have tracked them for a year out after that initial ER visit, how many of them come back with an unwanted pregnancy or with complications of STDs that have, you know, very costly downstream consequences? So I think if we reframed it as, is the immediate problem that they're asking about an emergency versus, are these people in a high-risk situation, and do they really not have other places within the health system where we can reach them and offer them some of these preventative resources? It's kind of a different use of the ER.
We'll leave it there for now. Dr. Siddiqui, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks again so much for having me.
That was Dr. Gina Siddiqui, a resident physician in the emergency room at Yale New Haven Hospital. She wrote the piece, A Doctor's Diary, The Overnight Shift in the ER, for the New York Times.